If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
We do have humans behind the whole thing at the end of the day, so we're willing to work with people, and I do believe that somebody who is serious about what they're doing, you know, and really wants to get in the business.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Successful real estate investor and serial tech entrepreneur Kirill Bensonov currently serves as Chief Product Officer at New Silver, a tech-oriented loan originator dedicated to bringing private lending into the future. Kirill, welcome to the show.
Hey, awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm excited. Today should be a great interview. I can't wait to hear everything that you've done, or at least if you can give us some high-level versions of everything you've done. As the show typically flows, you know, things we want to know is, you know, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how'd you get there?
Cool. Yeah, I'll try to sum it up as short as I can. So I'm an immigrant. I came to the U.S. when I was 11 years old with my parents from back then. It was USSR. Now it's Belarus, a separate country, going through some turmoil right now, actually, over there. But nevertheless, I came as a kid, you know, had some relatives in the U.S. and in Connecticut, settled in Connecticut. And, you know, I sort of was always entrepreneurial. My uncle was my mentor. He started some businesses, and he was about 10 years older than me. So I always thought about, you know, doing things for myself. And U.S. obviously is the best place in the world to do that. So I was always interested in doing that. And you know, I kind of went into technology, technologies, various technologies, and I studied computer science in school. I was always interested in tech. And so you know, I started a couple companies. My first, you know, started dabbling, like my first company was the web hosting company while I was still in college. That started a more serious company after school called computersport.com. They've since renamed. They're now called Stratus Point IT, but it's essentially a managed IT services company. It's, you know, essentially support cloud services, things like that for small, medium, and large businesses. I think we did pretty well. We sold the company in 2017, and then we actually started a company that kind of spun out of this called Unigma, which was a software for cloud management. So, you know, I was kind of a technologist. You know, I still am a technologist. I consider myself tech first. I learned about real estate investing, I think, about 2013 or so. A friend of mine was doing fix and flip, and I invested a little bit of money with them. And that's kind of how I learned about it and really loved it. I mean, I think, you know, real estate, I love it from a tech perspective because it's got so much data. I mean, transactions are publicly available. You know, there's so many things going on, right? So that for a technologist, there's a lot to get our hands into. And then, you know, just from sort of a business and marketing perspective, I thought it was very interesting. Long story short, myself and my partner, Alex, started New Silver, which is sort of a fintech lender in the fix and flip space in 2018, went to market 2019. And yeah, I mean, we, you know, essentially continue to build software, originating loans. You know, our vision was to make the loan origination process faster, easier, and sort of de-risk it for the lender. And so, you know, that's kind of the goal of our software. We pulled a lot of different data sets together. And we make, I think ideally, we try to make the process as fast as possible. So what we've done already is for the borrower who wants to get a loan, they could come to our website and basically get a decision in under 10 minutes using our proprietary underwriting process.
That's fantastic. I mean, because so much of the time is spent, you know, monkeying around with can you underwrite this? Can we get approved for this? Is this something you guys, is a deal you guys will do? I mean, that takes a long time. Are you guys are working in the residential and commercial space, or is it simply on a residential space?
Primarily residential. We've done, you know, a few small balance commercial deals. Yeah, I think the value of the data and the process that we built, I mean, on the residential side, is just a little bit easier to build this automated underwriting.
Sure.
On a serious commercial scale, it is harder because everything is fairly custom, right? So it would be harder for to build an algorithm that will kind of give you answers quickly. Though I think people are trying to do it, and it'll probably get done at some point. But you know, that's not our sweet spot. Though we've done something there,
right? And you know, the difference obviously in residential and commercial is that commercial is typically underwritten based on NOI. So I mean, you can take a residential property and figure out its value pretty quick based on comps. But you know, I would think
correct. Yeah. So we look at comps. mean, we also look at a lot of sort of the census data, just neighborhood data, right? Like how long properties stay on the market. For commercial, I think it would be much harder because to find a comp is already difficult enough, right? And then how much does it look like your property exactly? It is harder. So I think technology, I mean, a lot of people are trying to attack the commercial space from a technology perspective. And, you know, I've seen very interesting companies trying to do, you know, cool things with tech.
Right. You bring a fascinating perspective to the table. I'm curious. One, you wrote a book. I don't want to forget to talk about that. So you wrote a book on real estate. Can you give us a kind of brief synopsis of what that book is, maybe the title of it and a little bit about that book?
Sure. It's called Achieving Wealth Through Real Estate. I mean, it's essentially, you know, it's just a description of different ways of getting into real estate, primarily fix and flip, though we do talk about commercial and other avenues there. It's really geared at people who are getting started or maybe have gotten started but looking to improve their game. We do talk a lot about, you know, some legal structures, tax implications, things that are many people may forget to think about for in the beginning, especially. And then they end up at the end of the year with a sizable tax bill. So, you know, so we do try to kind of address the whole circle of investing in real estate.
Right. No, that's super cool. And that's something that you can take and somebody that's looking to grow and or avoid pitfalls, you can certainly read. And I would think that the lessons that you share in that apply to really any facet of real estate.
That's correct. Yeah, we do. You know, it can be applied anywhere. And we do talk about, you know, not just residential fix and flip, but other things as well.
Right. No, that's super cool. I'd love to dig into the funding side of your fintech lending. When you guys loan, are you guys the direct lenders or are you assigning those loans to someone else once you close them?
We are a direct lender. We do. After we close the loan, we funded ourselves with our own capital. We may sell loans. We may balance sheet loans. We may, you know, do other things. I think we have some pretty innovative things that are kind of taking place right now on the sort of the secondary markets. And this is another reason why I like the fix and flip world is because, you know, I think if we think about, like, for folks that have been in this business long enough, and I haven't been, I learned about it after the fact, but, you know, sort of this hard money lenders, right, were around for a long time, not necessarily just in real estate, right? Like you could go, you know, to a lender for various things, but hard money lenders in real estate, from what I understand, really started coming up in sort of the 2000s. But now the world is totally different. I think the lending space has gotten institutionalized. There's big private equity funds that play in this world. There is, you know, some banks are even dabbling in this, you know, a little bit as well. So it's a very interesting time.
Right. And so do you guys raise money from other investors in order to fund your loans? Like, do you guys have do you run a fund on the back end? People, you know, put money into and just get a fixed return? Or how do you guys, like, where does all your, unless you're just, you know, a billionaire, which you might be, I don't know. Hopefully you are. But, you know, unless you just have pockets that are, you know, never ending supply of money, how do you guys continue to fund your deals?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I think, you know, there's probably hardly anyone out there that can continue to fund it themselves for any sustained period of time. Even though someone's got, you know, a net worth of $100 million, it's still kind of, you know, the money goes quickly when in the real estate world, as everyone here probably understands.
Sure.
So, yeah, we raised a little bit of money. We don't have a fund set up. We raised some money from ourselves, from, you know, the founders. We raised a little bit of outside capital, and that has been sufficient for us to do what we need to do. We're actually in the midst of raising, you know, our go-to-market has never been about raising money from individual investors, at least for now. So we're talking to institutions, and we're doing some other innovative things that are sort of going to be made public in the next few days. So for those of you guys that are listening and interested in what we're doing, next week, look out for an announcement on our site, and that has to do with how we're raising money.
Gotcha. Okay. So this podcast will go live probably at the end of December. Yeah.
So by then, you know, you would have seen. So you could go, if you were interested in how we raise money, there's going to be a description. If you go to the lender is the name of the blog on our website, newsilver.com, and you'll be able to read all about it.
Right. So go to newsilver.com and you can look up and read and see how you guys are going about raising more funds. That's cool. I'll need to put that on my calendar as well, because I will want to see how that comes out. I know you don't want to spill the beans early. So that's fantastic. So what does the future look like for your company? And obviously part of that is, you know, sound like a new fundraising method, but where do you want to take New Silver to? What's the ultimate kind of plan for the company itself?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we want to be able to grow our originations. Obviously, we are in the business of originating loans, but we want to do it in a smart and conservative way. We want to work with borrowers. I mean, we're not opposed to working with people who are just starting out. So I don't want to say we just want to work with experienced borrowers, because I do believe that everyone at some point had no experience, right? So, you know, everyone deserves a chance. We do have programs for borrowers with zero experience, and we've got, you know, obviously programs for people with experience. We're also thinking a lot about technology and how else can we help our borrowers, our potential borrowers, or just anyone that wants to get into the space. How can we help them be more successful? So about a month ago, we released a software called Flip Scout, which essentially helps people who want to get in. They don't have to borrow money from us. They can just come to our site, register, and use the software. It's completely free. There's no catch or anything. They can find properties and you know, single family, multifamily, residential type properties, see how much it costs now, see how much what their potential cost would be for rehab, for financing, if they want to finance it, things like that, and how much they could make at the end of the day. And so that's been really successful. We're getting tons of people using it, and people are asking us about it, and people are loving it. So it's a free tool. And most likely next week as well, we're going to add on some features that will allow sort of buy and hold investors that want to buy and then rent out the property against, you know, residential properties, multifamily, single family, what have you, to do kind of the same thing. I mean, the calculations are a little bit different because there may not be construction, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, we're looking at, and these properties are on-market properties. So we're looking at on-market properties, figuring out, using intelligence, figuring out how much money has to be put in and what's left at the end of the day. And then if it makes sense, we'll show that property. And then, you know, if whoever is using our tool wants to buy it, then they could go to their own agent. They could go to Zillow or you know, any place that's sort of the middle. We're not, you know, we don't necessarily stand to profit from it in any way. If they do want to borrow money from us as a lender, that's great. But if not, they're free to, you know, to go wherever they want.
Right. That's interesting. Yes. That's a free tool also on your website. We need to look that up and make sure we mark that in the show notes. That's awesome. Very good. Tell us something else. I'm not even sure necessarily what else to ask you as it pertains to the lending space. I guess maybe tell us, oh, here's two things I'd love to know. Is one, where do you see things going? And what I mean by that more specifically is, how are you guys protecting your downside risk? Because obviously times are uncertain. So what are some steps you've taken in your business to mitigate, you know, any risk you might be incurring?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, you know, we've never been the most aggressive. So I think we're not conservative either, but we're sort of middle of the road. I think technology is great for sort of giving us the time savings and maybe helping us filter out the best or the most fitting potential borrowers and potential properties. However, you know, we do have humans behind the whole thing at the end of the day. So we're willing to work with people. And I do believe that somebody who is serious about what they're doing, you know, and really wants to get in the business, continue to be in the business and is spending their time learning and understanding what the neighborhoods, the markets look like, what the kind of the macroeconomic things that are happening in this very uncertain world, how they may affect their small business. I mean, that's the kind of people we want to work with. And I believe those people, because at the end of the day, you know, we fund the majority of the cost, but all of our borrowers bring equity to the table. We don't do 100% financing. So everybody has skin in the game and they have desire and they want to finish the project. I'm 100% sure that everyone we work with is completely serious about what they're doing. So, you know, I think people who are thinking about these things are the ones we want to work with. And that's really how we protect our downside. Is we want to work with people who understand that there may be downside and are willing and ready for that to potentially happen. And just to add, I mean, nobody could have foreseen COVID, right? I mean, like no model in the world, no underwriter, nobody, right? So, you know, things like that, I mean, if that, and I also don't believe that that's going to happen again for another decade or more, right? So, it's probably going to be completely different. It won't be a pandemic. It'll be who knows what, right? But it's sort of a black swan event that doesn't happen usually. And so I think, you know, everyone was asking, when are we going to see a market correction, right, in real estate? Because it kept going up and up and up and up. Well, it didn't really come. Now I think the market behaved quite differently than what many people expected. But I do think we've seen a big event that sort of had an impact across the spectrum of our lives, right?
Right. Yeah. And who knows, you know, of course, you know, hand in hand with that, we never saw we saw a brief downturn or a brief major market correction, and then it went right back up. And much of that probably was due to the fact that we printed a ton of money. And, you know, so it just went right back in the system and everybody kept buying. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Are you guys regional lenders or do you lend nationwide?
We lend in about 39 states. I mean, we focus on, you know, we lend in a lot of the eastern seaboard states, so Massachusetts down to Florida. We lend some in Texas. We lend some in Illinois. And we've done deals in other states as well. We kind of look at the data and let the data take us to wherever it makes sense. I mean, if the property looks good, if the borrower, you know, it looks good, then we're not opposed to making a loan anywhere where we're legally able to.
Right. When it comes to minimum loan size, do you guys have anything you say, hey, this is, we won't do anything under this?
$100,000 is the minimum.
Right. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I'm sure not only is the juice not worth the squeeze, you know, under 100, it also, you know, becomes that much harder of a property to deal with were you ever to take it back and get rid of it and things like that.
So, yeah. Economics make more sense there. Yeah.
Right. And on the maximum?
Maximum is $3 million.
Okay.
Yeah, for residential, I think we could go a little bit more for multifamily. I believe it's $5 million. But yeah, it's typically, I think the biggest, you know, we don't really focus on large loans. We have partnerships. If someone comes to us, you know, our biggest loan is probably in the $2 million range.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Kirill, thanks for coming on today. Certainly appreciate it. Let's jump into the final four. It is the first question is, if you were to distill everything you know about real estate, or you had to distill everything you know about real estate down to one piece of advice, and we're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
It would be to study data, just to look at, you know, let's say you've picked a neighborhood or a city, a town, whatever. I'd say study the data and what makes up what the real estate picture looks like. I mean, because numbers don't lie. I mean, that's, you know, if you understand where things have been and where they may go, then you have a much higher chance of success.
Do you feel like in your book, and I've not read it, I would like to, but do you feel like you give people a way to break that data down?
I think we do, yeah. I mean, we look at everything that we consider important in the book. You know, you'll be able to read about what kind of data to look at and what is important. I mean, there's, as I said earlier, there's a ton of data. I mean, every real estate transaction, it's public, right? So Right. Neighborhood data, census data, but really there's only a few pieces of information, whether if you're a sort of a fix and flip investor or if you're a buy and hold investor, data will look slightly different, right? But it's you know, you maybe focus on 5 data points and you'll be successful.
Right. Yeah. And finding those and having the ability to interpret them properly is key. You know, I think a lot of times we can look at data, especially for those of us who get cross-eyed, you know, looking at stuff like that pretty easily, you know, it gets overwhelming. So, you know, painting that picture of what does this data tell me? That's an important skill set to master. Second question is, what's one way that you stay on top of your game?
I mean, I read a lot of news and I try to be involved in the market. I mean, we're, you know, we at least used to go to conferences. I think the in-person interaction is, I definitely miss that. You know, obviously we don't have that today, but that's one way I stayed on top of things. I mean, I, you know, read a lot of real estate news and whether it's local or global, right? I think kind of knowing where things stand, because the world is so intertwined now that you may think something happening in Europe or in Canada doesn't really affect us. But I think it does. I mean, eventually it all trickles down to most other places, right?
Right. Absolutely. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
I mentor people a lot, so I've been involved in various business organizations, and I've done my fair share, and I continue to try to be available for folks. You know, I have people emailing me randomly sometimes, and I try to give back to people. So, you know, I try to give back that way. I try to share what I know.
Right. No, that's awesome. You have random guys emailing you me asking you to be a guest on a podcast. So that's awesome. Kirill, if we wanted to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
You can check us website, Kirill, newsilver.com, my personal website, kirillbensonov.com. You can email me at Kirill, K-I-R-I-L-L at newsilver.com.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for coming on today. Certainly appreciate it. Enjoy the interview and look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
Myself as well. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, And subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.